Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, happy Friday. It's March 20th. Thank you for downloading today's podcast. Coming up today, there's been drama at County Hall as councillors walk out of a debate over immigration.
Reform tabled a motion that was full of prejudicial statements against vulnerable people coming across the channel. It's also totally inappropriate when there's an election on. It was using the County Council chamber for political purposes.
A community bid to save green space in Tunbridge Wells.
The threat, if we don't buy it, is that potentially a property developer or somebody buys the commons looking to develop part of the commons.
And another weekend, another match for Gillingham.
The games are coming thick and fast and, you know, the boys are right up for the fight and hopefully we can put it right Saturday.
All of that still to come, so stay listening. But we'll start with an update on the meningitis outbreak in Kent now, and the family of a sixth former who's died from the illness in Kent are demanding better protection for teenagers. 18-year-old Juliet Kenny, who went to Queen Elizabeth's Grammar in Faversham, became ill just a day before she died last weekend. Her dad, Michael, has issued a statement. Nicola's been reading it.
We are incredibly proud parents of two wonderful daughters. Juliet is a force in this world. With her beautifully positive energy, she spread fun, love and happiness to those around her, and she continues to do so now. The devastation of her loss to us, her family and friends is immeasurable. No family should experience this pain and tragedy. This can be avoided. There are young people currently battling this and young people still at risk. As parents, we knew our children would change the world and be a force for good. The work to protect young people has started. It needs to be more. Juliet's impact on this world must be lasting change. Now is the time to ensure families are safe from the impact of meningitis B.
More vaccination centres are due to open this morning following the outbreak. Anyone who visited Club Chemistry in Canterbury earlier this month will be able to get the jab. Health Secretary Wes Streeting was in Kent yesterday and made this announcement while at a meningitis clinic.
We are now encouraging anyone who attended Club Chemistry from the 5th of March until it voluntarily closed to come forward for both antibiotics and vaccination. Furthermore, we're expanding vaccination to anyone who's previously been offered the prophylactic antibiotic. That will include a larger number of students here at the University of Kent. It will include some students at Canterbury Christchurch University, and it will also include sixth formers at four schools where we've got known or suspected cases. These are precautionary steps to help us contain the spread. We're keeping that situation under review. We may well expand eligibility for antibiotics and vaccination in the coming days, depending on what we see, and we'll take those decisions in an evidence-informed way. But so far, I'm confident we're doing everything we could do to contain the spread. That's the objective. And I also want to reassure people that in terms of the way in which this infection disease spreads, it is through close personal contact. We've got an effective treatment in the antibiotic. We've got effective vaccination, which is up and running. All of those things taken together mean that the risks, even for students here in Canterbury, are relatively low. And of course, to the general public across the country who are also watching events with interest and concern, the risk to the general public is extremely low.
More than 8,500 antibiotics and 1,600 vaccines have been administered so far. We spoke to some of the students who have come forward.
I was quite impressed with the rollout. I only just got the email whilst I was on a walk, so I thought best to get here quick before the queues start. But yeah, I'm quite impressed with how quick it's come around.
Some people will be more panicked. Some people are pretty chill about it. I'm pretty chill about it.
I feel a lot more protected. I'm less scared, and I did get the antibiotic as well. So I feel a lot more protected from the risk.
The university has handled it pretty well. Responded pretty well to it.
So it's been quite immediate, all the responses that's been happening.
We got information as quickly as they could give it to us, and I'm glad we're getting the vaccinations. I've had quite a lot of emails. My emails are constantly going, and so it's been quite good to have that on social media as well.
I'm happy that I've got one today. It seemed quite short notice, so I'm happy that's all gone ahead.
Now, the outbreak of meningitis is causing disruption for the city's tourist industry, with people choosing to avoid the area. We spoke to Oliver Fleischer, who's visiting Kent. He's with 200 students from Germany who are meant to be heading to Canterbury, but instead are staying in Herne Bay.
We are from Germany. I have a group of kids with me, and We have stayed here in Herne Bay for 4 days now. We plan to go to Canterbury today, but with all the news and the outbreak of meningitis, we decided to stay here today. But with the beautiful weather, it doesn't matter. We had a nice beach walk, we had a storytelling workshop, and that was just perfect. The kids are happy and so are we.
Now, this all comes as the total number of meningitis cases identified in Kent has risen to 29, according to the UK Health Security Agency. The number includes 18 confirmed cases and 11 probable ones. For the very latest updates, head over to the homepage of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Two police officers are in a critical condition in hospital following a crash in Swanley. It happened on the A20 at the junction with Button Street in Farningham as they were responding to an emergency call last night. A member of the public also suffered serious injuries. The Kent Police Federation has released a statement. They say it's a sad reminder of the risks officers face every day, and their thoughts and best wishes are currently with those who were injured. Elsewhere today, a number of vans and a warehouse have been badly damaged in a fire near Sittingbourne. People have reported hearing explosions after the blaze broke out at Matt's Hill Farm in Hartlepp late last night. It's understood crews in 8 engines were called to tackle the flames and spent several hours at the scene. Now, Kent Online's Matt Ramsden was able to get down there this morning. He's been able to answer some questions for us. First up, Matt, can you just give us some more details about how this all unfolded?
I was actually lying in bed in my house in Sittingbourne last night when I heard one of the explosions about 10:30. Very, very loud, very sharp noise, which I thought was quite odd. A few minutes later, there was another equally loud noise. So I looked out the window, but couldn't see anything, obviously, because I'm so far away. I went down there this morning, and it's a big trading estate, a big industrial estate. So there's all sorts of businesses there. So it took a few minutes to find the actual place that it had happened, and it was a scene of devastation. The gentleman I spoke to, who was a contracts manager for a company, showed me the damage that had been done to their company office, which had just been totally gutted, and all of their equipment, all their computers, all their files, all their data completely gone. The fire seemingly started a neighbouring business, and the speculation is that they were having some sort of fire in a bin last night, and somehow that has just spread, and it's spread in their yard and damaged loads of vehicles, and then it just spread to the neighbouring business where I was. They've been left counting the cost, obviously, because it is major damage. It's worth mentioning as well how well the fire service did to get all their vehicles down there. I think there was as many as 8 fire engines at the peak of the emergency. It's a very rural setting, down potholed country lanes, and it took some getting to myself in my car. So I can only imagine how difficult it was to get all those 999 vehicles down there too. I spoke to a gentleman at the scene by the name of Steve Summerhayes. Now, he's the contracts manager for RS Steelworks, and it was his business that had been badly affected. I felt very sorry for him. He'd rushed from his home in Gillingham at the height of the fire and just stood by and watched all that hard work go up in flames.
Thanks so much, Matt. You could read the full story, see pictures and video at Kent Online. A mum from Broadstairs who tried to kill her severely disabled daughter has been detained in hospital. Carla Lovejoy repeatedly stabbed 28-year-old Isabella at their home in St Peter's in March last year. The 53-year-old was found guilty of attempted murder in December following a trial. A Canterbury man has been sent to prison after police found he'd been hoarding thousands of indecent images of children. Investigations were carried out into Richard Mumford, who's on the sex offenders register. The images were found across multiple electronic devices in July 2024. The 40-year-old from St Mary's Gardens pleaded guilty and has been locked up for 28 months. A Rochester man who sent indecent images to a woman has been ordered to do unpaid work. A court heard Stephen King bombarded his victim with messages after making contact via Facebook. The 27-year-old from Wynwood Road has also got to pay compensation.
Kent Online News.
A person's been rescued after getting trapped on a cliff in Thanet. Emergency crews were called to Marine Drive in Broadstairs yesterday evening. They were winched to safety by a Coast Guard helicopter. It's not thought they were injured. A Maidstone paramedic has been struck off after using his colleague's urine sample to pass a drug test. He'd been asked to provide a sample after bosses at Elite Emergency Medical Services were alerted to possible substance misuse. A second test was positive for Class A and C drugs. He was dismissed after a panel found there was a high risk of repetition. Now, opposition parties have stopped stormed out of a council meeting in Kent over a debate on immigration. Reform UK had tabled a motion declaring an illegal migration emergency, but there had been calls for it to be postponed until after a by-election takes place in Thanet. Rather than take part, 31 members of the opposition group left the chamber. Anthony Hook, who's the leader of the Lib Dems at KCC.
Reform tabled a motion that was full of prejudicial statements against vulnerable people coming across the channel. It's also totally inappropriate when there's an election on. It was using the County Council chamber for political purposes, and that's expressly against the rules. In our view, there was no way to remedy that. We didn't want to give that legitimacy by staying and being part of it, so we decided to leave.
Here's Conservative group leader Harry Rayner.
The circumstances of the proposal coming forward were completely unacceptable. And in particular, the machinations involved, in particular with the monitoring officer, who has flopped backwards and forwards in connection with whether this matter can be considered. She, in my view, is no more than a cushion bearing the imprint of the last man who sat on her.
And let's hear now from Reform UK's Lyndon Kemp-Caron.
Well, I think it's always very disappointing when people aren't prepared to stay and debate a motion or anything, in fact. I think leaving the chamber shows that the opposition don't have anything really of any real value to say for the people of Kent. They certainly weren't prepared to stay and stand up for what they thought about the illegal migration emergency that we have now successfully declared through a motion in the chamber.
Now, this comes as county councillors in Kent have given themselves a pay rise. It'll see the amount they receive in allowances for attending meetings, dealing with residents' concerns and basic office costs go up to just over £16,885. Leader Lyndon Kemp-Caron has described the increase as entirely reasonable.
Kent Online News.
The reopening of a Kent road that's been shut 22 times in just 2 years has been delayed. Chapel Lane in Sissinghurst was due to be available to traffic again from today. New water pipes are being installed on the vital link to Cranbrook, Tenterton and Benenden. The work should now be finished on April 10th. Now, we now know when a shopping centre and multi-storey in Ashford are going to be demolished. Businesses have moved out of Park Mall and the Edinburgh Road car park has been closed since the start of the year. Council bosses say work will get underway in April. A peaceful march is taking place this weekend over the future of Tunbridge Wells and Rustall Commons. It's currently privately owned but have been put up for sale. Local residents want to bring the site into community ownership. The march is to raise awareness so people can show their support. I spoke to Roger Barton, who is chair of the Friends of the Commons.
Tunbridge Wells and Rustall Commons is a large area. It's 256 acres all told. And it's quite unusual in that it's right in the centre of town. And so it's very heavily used by people walking their dogs and meeting up and having picnics and so on. And really, it's one of the defining features of Tunbridge Wells. If you had to give the two defining features, you'd probably say the Pantiles and the Commons. And people are very, very keen, very fond of the Commons and use it a great deal.
And what sort of threats is the Commons facing?
Well, so the Commons, when you speak to people in Tunbridge Wells, they assume that the Commons is in somehow in community ownership. Well, it's not. It's actually in private ownership and always has been. And the current owners are looking to sell the Commons. And we're looking to buy it on behalf of the community. And the community, the people we've spoken to, we've had fantastic support. There's very, very strong support for us buying the Commons on behalf of the whole community. The threat, if we don't buy it, is that potentially a property developer or somebody buys the Commons looking to develop a part of the Commons. And also that they may charge people increased access fees for the people that live around the Commons, increased access fees to use the Commons and to use the Commons for services.
And can you tell me a little bit about the community bid? What sort of, what sort of thing goes behind a community bid to buy a Commons?
So we've been having a range of meetings with local residents, all of which have been fully subscribed. And we've been putting banners up and posters up to make people aware, because still there's, a number of people that aren't aware that the Commons are being sold. So our first and foremost job is to make people aware that it's being sold. And we now have about 2,500 people, residents, who have pledged financial support. So we're building up those pledges, building up financial support, and we're confident that we'll be able to buy the commons. But time is short. The deadline is coming up 25th of March. So so we're in the final stretch.
And so where does the protest march on Saturday, where does that fit in? And can you tell me a little bit about the event?
Well, again, it's firstly to make sure that that people are aware that the commons are being sold, and to enable people to come out on a march to support the Friends in their bid to buy the commons on behalf of the community. It's starting at 12 o'clock on Saturday. At the forum, and then we start walking at 12:30 through the town, and we're hoping for strong support from the local residents, and also we've had a number of people who have said they want the opportunity to show that they oppose the alternative, if you like, which is to split the commons up and to potentially develop the commons.
A Medway-based estate agent has hired a councillor to give regular sessions to his staff. Andy Wicking is the managing director of Red Door. He says agents are often faced with difficult clients as well as distrust from the public. He's organised a drop-in clinic twice a month at his branch in Rochester High Street in a bid to improve his workforce's well-being.
Kent Online News.
Dad-friendly playdates are being launched in Tunbridge Wells this weekend. The two-hour sessions blend play and culture, offering men a place to connect and engage with their children. The first is being run tomorrow at the Amelia Scott on Mount Pleasant Road by support group Dad LaSole. Dan Flanagan is their founder. He and I were able to sit down for a chat.
I'd be down the park with my little lad. The mums would all be in a group, but I'd be quite lonely. Or you'd go to soft play, which is horrible. Let's be honest. No parent likes soft play. Everybody's on their phone. And I just thought there has to be something more. So I took over a friend's office in Brighton. It was DJ battles, beatbox battles, brought in some soft play. And we had, I think, 14 dads and 20-something kids turn up. Very liberal interpretation of health and safety back then. But what we did is, because we politely barred the mums, the dads were hands and knees playing with the kids. So this doesn't happen. You know, so we're now on to event 500 and something. So we're really excited to be back at or launching in Tunbridge Wells, because that's where I grew up. So when I was there, you know, we had the library and the museum, and it was quite quiet and stuff. Now, obviously, with the Amelia Scott, it's beautiful and open, and you can smell and you can taste and you can touch. So 10 till 12. We are filling it with dads and kids from about the age of zero, kids to about the age of 10, I suppose. Anything older than that, they get a bit, you know, cool for school. But there's Lego, there's messy play, there's VR headsets. The dads come in and we do everything from Nerf Wars, stand-up comedy, rap workshops. And the dads get a chance to interact, make friends, because it can be quite lonely as a grown-up sometimes. And yeah, nobody really wants to put their hand up and go, "Hello, I'm Billy No Mates and I'd really like something to play with, please." So from that, the community grows. We support each other. And down, we've got probably 4,000 or 5,000 members. We've got Dadless Oldies in Germany, France, New Zealand, Czech Republic. Our youngest dad is 16. He's just done his GCSEs. Our eldest is in his 70s, so he's a granddad that's got, you know, custody of his grandchildren. We've got guys that are long-term unemployed in temporary accommodation. We've also got dads that are on seven-figure salaries. Happily married, co-parents, step-parents, same-sex, foster carers, IVF, miscarriage. Essentially a smorgasbord of fellas.
Dan says the sessions are designed to get men talking and take a proactive approach to men's mental health. A town in Kent has been named as one of the best places to live in the southeast. Deal came fifth on the list compiled by the Sunday Times. They say it's full of proper old-fashioned charm with friendly locals, traditional boozers and candy floss coloured houses. Six women from Kent are preparing to swim the English Channel to raise money for a drowning prevention charity. The Sheppey Channel champions will relay the 21 miles to France, taking between 14 and 18 hours to complete. They're due to set off in August. They're supporting Swim Taker and want to highlight the dangers of the sea. Three parts of Medway are set to benefit from Pride in Place funding. Up to £20 million will be made available for Luton, Twiddle and Reed Common over the next 10 years. The cash can be used for things like upgrading the high street or improving community facilities. Lauren Edwards, who's the MP for Strood, says it'll make a big difference. And there have been tributes to a man described as the saint of a Kent village who's died at the age of 67. Victor Norman Marsh became popular in Ashe near Canterbury, where he was regularly seen helping residents wherever he could with things like mowing lawns and picking up shopping. He passed away last month after suffering from circulation problems. There are plans to replace the local scout hut with a new building in his memory.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham will be hoping to end a run of defeats in League 2 this weekend. They've conceded 12 goals in their last three games, but it was a better performance on Tuesday night. The Gills welcome Bristol Rovers to Priestfield tomorrow. Striker Ronan Hale has been speaking to the club's media team and says their midweek game was much better.
In the final third, we got more chances created and probably should have buried one or two, but listen, the luck will change soon enough, and I feel that we definitely deserved a point from Tuesday night. And it's a massive improvement from, obviously we're not accepting the loss, but it's a massive improvement from the MK and the Cambridge game. So it's one that we can certainly build on and look forward to this Saturday.
You had a couple of good chances yourself on Tuesday. One, keeper's made a fantastic stop, and then I think in the second half, it's hit a defender's ankle and you can't quite get the rebound in. So there's moments in games at the moment that we're not quite on the right end of.
Yeah, sometimes that's just a luck at the minute, but hopefully it changes. Obviously, the keeper's made a couple of good saves. He made one from a corner as well, and the scramble at the end, you know, on another day, I'm there to bury it, but the defender's made a good block, so... Listen, the luck will change and hopefully it changes very soon, but the games are coming thick and fast and, you know, the boys are right up for the fight and hopefully we can put it right Saturday.
Generally speaking, how have you settled into a new area to live, a new club to play at, new group of teammates? How have you self-settled since you came down here?
Yeah, I feel I'm finally settling into the team. Obviously, it's January is never easy coming into a new team and new surroundings. So, you know, me and my family settled now and we're just really looking forward to kicking on, and obviously as a striker that it's frustrating not to be scoring every week or getting the goals there and then, but listen, it'll come, and I'm looking forward to obviously the games coming up.
And what's the vibe like in the camp, as you say, not accepting the defeat in any way, shape or form, but certainly Tuesday the performance was a lot brighter, and of course we've got a lot of our injured players back in the team, which does help.
Yeah, of course, you can look at it injury wise, and we had a few mainstays in the team that were out injured, so you can look at it that way, but it just, the boys know, everyone in the squad, that it was nowhere near good enough and the standards weren't there. So, you know, albeit we lost Tuesday night, it was a massive improvement to the last two games. And obviously, going forward, we'll need to bring that and more. And hopefully we can start it off Saturday.
The Gills are 16th, while the opposition are three places below them. And briefly in cricket, it's the second day of Kent's pre-season friendly against Sussex. The visitors to Hove hit 302 for 7 yesterday. The first game of the championship season is away to Durham on April 3rd. That's all from us today and for the week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to Kent Online. .co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.